Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Broadcasting live from iHeart, iTunes, Bashani Radio, and Spotify, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. Today I have the honor and pleasure of having Precious L. Williams, CEO and co-founder of Perfect Pitches by Precious. Precious, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm glad you asked. So I'm Precious Williams. I am a world-class master communicator, a 13-time national elevator pitch champion, and, you know, a big girl in the city. I live in New York City. I love teaching women entrepreneurs how to get out of their own way and learn how to promote their businesses, their brands, their products, their services, and their books in a very unique way using the power of the elevator pitch, the media pitch, or the investor pitch. So women who are looking for ways to really attract their target market to them or attract media or investors to them, you should check us out at Perfect Pitches by Precious, where we teach the art and the science of the most killer elevator pitches.
That is truly awesome. I see you also was featured on season 8 of ABC's Shark Tank.
Yes, that was an awesome experience. You know, I believe when people watch the show, they really think they know what goes on behind the scenes, and they really, really don't. It was a great experience because if I'm the hashtag killer pitch master, then I have to go and show the sharks that I really am the best in the world at what I do. And I have Robert Hershovic say to me, "You are a master salesman, a master at this." And I have Mark Cuban say, "You go, girl," because they had never seen anybody like me before. I didn't walk in scared. I didn't walk in timid, and I didn't walk in cocky. I just walked in with the rock star confidence of a woman from the inner city who just was like, I'm a 13-time champion. You're not going to ask me questions I don't know the answer to. And because I built a business from scratch, because I come from nothing, this is my opportunity to showcase the best of who I am and what I can do.
My God. So you had no fear stepping out on that stage in front of these people, huh?
Well, I'm not going to say I didn't have any fear. I'm telling you that I use fear to propel me forward because I know most people will never have the opportunity to do what I did. Most people will never have the opportunity to have their first elevator pitch air nationally on MSNBC. Most people don't have the audacity and the cunning to be able to get on a lot of different television shows with no connections or to walk up to producers and just be able to give an elevator pitch, not even knowing what an elevator pitch is at the time, you know? I've been blessed with this vision of where I'm always supposed to be and just moving forward. You know, I may not have the greatest of plans, but when the opportunity presents itself, nobody does it better.
Okay, so I see you were also on CNN as well as the Wall Street Journal. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yes, so in June 2015, the CNN had reached out to me about being their Entrepreneur of the Month for June 2015, and Sharon Monet wrote the article on me because they were just so surprised that a 327-pound woman created a company called Curvy Girls Lingerie that was successful. You know, and it wasn't that I was taking on Victoria's Secret. I just knew that there were over 40 million women size 14 or larger in the United States just like me, and we all want pretty underwear. And so since that's a sizable part of the population, why isn't any mainstream lingerie companies catering to us? So I created Curvy Girls Lingerie, the ultimate shopping experience for full-figured divas and plus-size fashionistas. And then with the Wall Street Journal, they were doing an article on women entrepreneurs in New York City who were successful that maybe not everybody had known about. And so they did an article on me and a couple of other women who, you know, were blowing up.
Oh, that is totally awesome. I definitely have to let some friends of mine go to your website and promote some business for you here. Also, I see you're a graduate of Spelman College and Reuters School of Law. What made you decide to go to
Spelman College and Rutgers.
Rutgers. I'm sorry. What made you decide to go to law school?
You know what? When I was growing up, I used to love watching the old school Perry Mason in black and white. I watched L.A. Law, Law and Order. I thought I would be better than Johnny Cochran. I just knew that I was talented. I didn't know the word for it was litigator, but I knew I had a flair for the dramatic. And so when I used to watch those shows, I was like, I'm going to be a better attorney than these people. And so that's why I wanted to go to law school. I also wanted to go to law school because I was a victim of child abuse growing up, and I never wanted to see another child go through what I went through.
Oh, okay. Well, we definitely have something in common there. I grew up down here in the South in North Carolina, and we had a prosecutor. He made the cover of Time magazine. He placed more inmates on death row than any prosecutor in the nation. So I was like, I got to beat him. He's not a real-life Perry Mason. But by the time I decided to go to law school, he became a judge. So I lost my passion for that. But, you know, this man would intimidate his own witnesses, send them out the courtroom crying. And I'm like, you are not that bad. And I'm going to one day be against you to show you that you don't have the power that you had. He was like 6'9", you know, maybe 250, 300 pounds. And, I mean, to see him intimidate his own witnesses, I just could not believe it. And if you were a defendant, I mean, he'd send you out of there crying, girl. So I am so glad we got that connection. And but he ended up dying a few months ago, and I did have the opportunity to speak with him. But outside the courtroom, he was the nicest person you would ever want to meet. But he really should have went into show business, because I mean, he was an actor in that courtroom. He had you memorized. I'm telling you, it was just so unreal. Never seen nothing like it. Haven't seen a prosecutor come behind him that would ever be able to touch him as well. My goal was to become a pro bono attorney, because in my hometown, everybody, if they wanted you off the street, they would make up charges or have somebody set you up just to get you off the street. So if you was innocent or guilty, if he wanted you off the street, you were going to prison. And, I mean, you were going to prison for a very, very long time.
Wow.
Yes, it was truly amazing. So when I went to college, we had a lawyer to come in from South Carolina. And I'm like, girl, you can beat him. You already got the law degree, so you need to come to court and sit with me and watch this man. And so she did,
wow.
But she was like, no, I'm not even going to waste my time on him.
Wow.
Yeah, I was so upset with her, because I'm like, we as African Americans can beat him. We can beat him. He is not a real-life Perry Mason, I'm telling
mm-hmm.
you. And I grew up looking at Perry Mason as well. And one of the areas I had thought about going in was into becoming a medical examiner.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Quincy a lot, and I'm like, no, I don't think I had the nerve to cut up people. You know what I mean? So that went away real quickly. And I am just so excited to have you on my show today. You have really done some good things. So was this a vision that God had given you as a child?
He gave me a vision as a child that I would be a nationally syndicated talk show host. So I had an idea that I would be, my gift was the gift of speech.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I, you know, did I ever think it would take me around the world like it has? Did I ever think that I would be where I am? No. Honestly, no.
I can imagine, because, you know, I tell people all the time, don't plan anything, because God had your life planned out when he sent you to this earth. So every time I plan in my own flesh, it never works out. But,
nope.
You know, when God plans for you, it's a done deal. Now, see, you say you live in Brooklyn, New York. Now, are you originally from New York?
No, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay, yeah, I remember you telling me that. So you wanted to get away from your hometown as well.
You know I did.
And you went to
You know I did. I went to college to get away from home.
I know, and you know, the strangest thing about that, we had this little college in my hometown that I never thought I would go to because it was predominantly white, and I didn't at that point grow up caring about white people, so basically I said to myself I would never go to that school, and guess what? That's where I got my psychology degree from.
Wow.
Amazing. And that was the best school because the degree that I have, if I had gone to a predominantly black school, I would have a master's degree.
Hmm.
So that was quite interesting to see that come across. But it was quite a challenge because they kept telling me I had a learning disability and I had just graduated from a technical college, cum laude. And I'm like,
yes.
You got to be kidding. You don't know how to teach is the problem. I know my learning ability. So I dropped out for a minute because I had this one teacher. She was just coming out of school, college, and she didn't know how to teach. So I had to come to another school to get it because I really needed that class. And when I got that degree, girl, I ran and found her because I'm like, you didn't stop a thing. What God has for me is for me. So it has really been great going to that school because it has opened quite a lot of doors for me.
I feel the same way about Spelman College. It is really, really awesome to have gone to a school that really celebrates you, shows you love, and has connections.
Okay, so was law school a challenge for you there?
Oh, yes, most definitely. You know, my first law school was Georgetown University Law Center, and I got in. I had a full ride, and I got kicked out on March 15, 2000. So I started August 25th, 2001, which is the same day that Aaliyah died. And September 11th happened when I was in D.C. I never quite recovered. And so I left school, and I was disenrolled on March 15, 2002.
Oh, wow. You know.
So, I mean, I have a lot of, like, really strange stories, and I was depressed for 5 years, I had a full ride to Rutgers School of Law, Newark. I was depressed for most of my time there because I just felt like I was just a runt, you know what I mean? And when I graduated from Rutgers, I really looked back and I said, wow, they gave me another opportunity. And I'm so incredibly grateful because not only did I pass the bar on my first try, not only was I a successful New York City-based attorney, but look at me now. All the things that people from Georgetown said about me wasn't true. And so while some of them are looking around for jobs today, I've created my own opportunity. And I didn't let a school define me.
That was awesome. That was awesome. But with going to law school there, did it make you a stronger individual with the opposition that you had from them?
It did make me a stronger individual. I think all of my experiences make me a lot stronger. I think when I went to Georgetown, I just felt like such a runt because my family, nobody in my family was a diplomat. I didn't come from money or anything like that. And I just felt like, man, I don't belong here. Now when I visit D.C., I don't feel any of that. I feel like God put me in that situation to say, one day you're going to walk into this city and you can freaking own it.
I know what you mean, girl. And you may think this is funny, but that was one of the law schools that I had considered applying to go to. But, girl, I saw The Exorcist. I'm like, uh-oh. I'm not going.
She's like, oh, no.
I'm not going nowhere near Georgetown Law School, okay?
Okay. Okay.
It didn't work out for me anyway, but it was just a thing that I had, and being the first college graduate from my family, It was, you know, they kept pressuring me, go to law school. They didn't really want me to be in criminal law. They wanted me to be in civil law. And I'm like, but that is not my passion. This is not what I want to make a stand for. You need to understand our young guys are going to prisons with life sentences, which means that we're not going to have any black men out here to produce any children. So that's going to be my goal, to try to keep the innocent ones out of prison and send the ones that's guilty on down the tube. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It was just mind-boggling that the prosecutor I was talking about, they allow him to do that. But, you know, thank God that most of, I think all of them, all the guys that he placed on death row now did get their sentences converted to life. It's not life without parole, because that was in the law back then when he sentenced them. But all of them are put on pulling life sentences right now, thanks to the Supreme Court of this country. So it went on to show him you won't really all that. Because they just took all his cases and just threw them out.
I love it.
Yes, girl, I was. So
I love excited. It. You know, the funny thing about life is I'm 40 now. So you know, in your 20s, you think you know everything. You fail. You think you can't. Can you hear me?
Yes.
And you think you can't face anybody. You feel like such a bum and everything like that. And now I look back and I'm like, thank you for all that it prepared me for. Thank you for everything it prepared me for.
I know.
You know what I mean? Thank you for every bad experience. Thank you for everything that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because my coach is, he was telling me he's from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And he was saying that, you know, people kept telling him he won't go be nothing. And look at him. He owns one of the largest radio stations there in New York. So I'm real excited about him coaching me to get me where I need to go as well.
Wow. So I think when I look at young people and I say, listen, you're going to go through some things. You're going to go through a lot of different things. And it's going to test your mettle. Just don't give up. Because I'm telling you, when I say it's always darkest before dawn, and that's when you reach out to God. I never understood why older people, you know, seem to cling to God so much more. But it's because after you've been through so much, you know only He can help.
Yes.
Only He can help.
Yeah, only Him. I'm telling you. I definitely agree with you on that. And like I said, I grew up reading the Bible real early in life. But I couldn't understand because I wasn't seeing anything manifested in what I was reading growing up Southern Baptist, as I told you. And it just took me down some paths that had I witnessed that early in life, I think I would have been on a different path by now. But, you know, it's never too late. God always has His time to make you shine.
He really does. He really does. And when his, you know, we always say His timing is perfect. It really is. His timing is truly perfect.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you as well, because like I said, most people that I know, you know, they try to do things on their own, knowing that they don't realize they have the power to do nothing without God.
Yep.
So when people come to the realization that God, He has to be first, I think we would be in a better world.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And all the things that I've been through, homelessness, severe alcohol addiction, not knowing who my friends are, toxic individuals, like all the stuff that I have been through, let me tell you something, it was all worth it. Because to stand where I stand today, to have the testicular fortitude that I have to be able to handle things, girl, you can't tell me nothing now. I'm like, you, I got God on my side. And I will make mistakes, but let me tell you something. My purpose has not changed.
Well, what was the turning point for you, Precious?
The turning point came on my 38th birthday when I attempted to take my life. And my cousin found me unconscious and, you know, 2 minutes away from dying. And I was just tired. The weight of success no one talks about. And you always hear about these Hollywood people. They go strung, get strung out on drugs. They party. They do all these sort of things. It's because if you're uncomfortable in your own skin, it doesn't matter how much success you have, because you will feel like you don't deserve it, or you've never had anybody in your zone of reference who's gone through what you've gone through. I don't know anyone who's ever been on Shark Tank other than me who was able, like, I did a lot of things that no one around me had done. Mm-hmm. And I used to think, well, why am I getting these opportunities? And then I would have people who would come out of the woodwork, you know, claim to be my friend, but they weren't. They were there for the ride. And then I had to quiet those voices and those thoughts in my mind that kept me up at night saying, you don't deserve it. You're fat. You're this. You're black. You're da da da. And so, you know, I got into it with my business partner from Curvy Girls Lingerie, and it just was a never-ending cycle of just negativity. So what should have been the happiest time of my life was actually the hardest. And so, you know, once I woke up in the hospital, I was so angry for 2 weeks, and then my psychotropic medication kicked in, and I started to become mentally stable. I realized what a gift God gave me is a second chance at life. Now, was it difficult? Yeah, I stayed in the shelter. I was homeless. There were some dark days the last 3 years, and so in this last year is where you see me shine. Because I walked out of a life transformation program. I didn't go into rehab. I quit drinking cold turkey. And I haven't had a drink since the day I tried to take my life on January 22nd, 2017. I entered 40 years old this year, and I was happy. I didn't have to have any alcohol. I was out with my sober friends, and we were eating chocolate cake and homemade food. And I was just like, this is how I should enter 40. This is how I should enter, because I'm clean and I'm sober. My mind is clear. I have the greatest clients in the world. Little did I know that I would be working with Microsoft. Little did I know that I would be flying around the world giving speeches. I didn't know all of this was going to happen, but God did. And that's why my life did not end. And that's why I had to clean up my life. And that's why he took away all those people out of my life that no longer served me. So that was a turning point.
Yeah, because my broadcast airing today will be about fake friends. And, mm-hmm. you know, Benny was telling me, he was like, Linda, when people show you who they are, I mean, this is Maya's quote, but when people show you who they are, believe them.
Right.
But I tell you, Precious, I am just so, so compassionate. I just go back for pain and punishment, I think, because I just hate to see somebody down and out. And that's the way all my friends were. Mm-hmm. When they were down and out, they wanted me around. But when they got up and, you know, was happy in their lives, they didn't want anything to do with me.
So, word.
Yes. It has been an experience for me. Actually, I just had to cut off people and realize that, you know, you're not going to use me to benefit you.
Word.
And you're not going to use me to pull me down to your level as well.
Right.
So once I did that, I mean, God made us turn around. I mean, turn around immediately in my life. He's given me several chances as well. And, you know, I've always had him there. But like you said, people come in and out, because all people are not meant to be in your life forever.
Nope.
So people coming in and out of my life, it just took me down some paths that I really shouldn't have had to go.
Girl. Girl.
It was a learning experience, and it was a great turning point as well in my life. My daughter's cooking, sorry. It was a great turning point in my life, because it made me a stronger individual as well. And, you know, I went through the same thing. I just wanted to commit suicide, too. Actually, I went in the room to get the knife. But as I pulled the drawer open to get the knife, it just, something came over me, because I was probably around 10 or 11. And I'm like, God, why would you bring me in a world like this? I don't want to be here. Not knowing that had I done it, where my eternal life would be. So
word.
He stopped me there.
Right.
Well, I am so glad your cousin found you in time. And see what God has done in order to turn you around to be a blessing to this world.
Thank you so much. I am so thankful to God. I'm so very thankful.
Okay, so after you got through the situation with the suicide, when did you start going to church, or did you go to church prior?
No, while I was in the Life Transformation Program, I was going to church. So I started attending Trinity Baptist Church on December it was December 7th, 2017. And I'm a member. So I just attended church today there.
Oh, okay. So who introduced you to that church? The people?
Well, it was part of the Life Transformation Program. It's Christ-centered. So the Bowery Mission Women's Center is who introduced me to that church.
Yeah, like I said, I visited your church, and it was kind of a different experience for me. But, and it was the strangest thing about that Sunday was this lady sat in front of us, and, I mean, you talking about praising God. I had never seen anybody praise God like that lady. And so
mm-hmm.
my sister was telling me that was the first time ever in that church. So I don't know if she was going through a situation and God had delivered her or brought her out or something. But, girl,
mm-hmm.
I tell you, she was giving God some praise.
Word. I woke up this morning just praising God, just praising. Just like, not just because it was Sunday, but just a year ago I walked out of that program, the Bowery Mission, a year ago today. So when I tell you I was praising God, I was like, Lord, so many people burned bread on me and said I wouldn't make it. And look at me now. You made that happen. You made my enemies my footstools. You made my doubters into believers. You made people who said I would never work in this town again. Look at me now.
I know.
That's what he can do.
Yeah, because when I text you yesterday and I'm like, okay, Linda, I finally got off. They finally, you know, cut my overtime for yesterday. So I'm like, okay, God, you know what I got to do tomorrow. I really need to go to church because I was at the greetest table this morning. And I'm like, you got to just not let me have to go to work tomorrow. So I'm going to get up and I'm going to text Precious and tell her that we're going to do this interview today. So I got up praising God as well, girl, because
wow.
I got to trust you, God. I know that was just an attack of Satan, you know what I'm saying? Trying
right.
to stop this interview. But look who the winner is, girl. Me and
you. You better act like you know.
I'm telling you. Well, listen, Precious, what are some nuggets you would like my listeners to take a heed of? Just give us a couple of nuggets to leave with today.
So, number one, fortune favors the bold. So be bold in what it is you're going after. Number two, praise God no matter what. He loves praise, and he will make things happen. He is activated by your praise. Number three, have compassion and empathy for others. You never know what they're battling. So if you see someone hurting, give them the time. Give them your time.
I agree.
You never know if they just need a listening ear before they take their life. You may prevent something tragic from happening. Number four, dream big. You can have what you want. I promise you can have it. You can have it. You just got to work at it and trust him. Trust him. He will lead you. He will lead your path. You may not know the next step. He will. And put the right people in your place.
And believe and trust me, he'll put the right people in your place at the right time.
Those
are excellent nuggets. I mean, oh, we are so, so mentally connected. It is unreal. Seeing that I've never met you before, it's like everything we kind of shared, I've been through with you as well. And it has just been truly an honor having you on the Linda Monroe Show today.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And I will be in New York Labor Day weekend, so we definitely have to get together.
You'll be here Labor Day weekend?
I mean, not Labor Day, Memorial Day weekend next year.
I'm going to be like, what? Okay, because that's about to happen, right?
Yeah, I should. should have been in New York Labor Day, but, you know, with this storm coming, it's just people are stranded all over the country. So you can't
wow.
even get from the north to the south. So I'm praying that these people get to where they need to go during this holiday weekend, I tell you. And
wow.
Again, tell us how we can get up with you on social media.
Okay, so in order to get in contact with me, you can go to my website, www.perfectpitchesbyprecious.com, and it's Pitches, P-I-T-C-H-E-S, by Precious. You can go on facebook.com/perfectpitchp, twitter.com/perfectpitchp, instagram.com/perfectpitchesp, and you can also text me at 646-592-5888, 646-592-5888, and that's how you can get in contact with me.
Well, great. Again, it has been an honor having you on the Linda Monroe Show this afternoon. This is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe, broadcasting live from New York City through Bashani Radio, iTunes Radio, Spotify, and iHeart Radio. Be blessed, everybody, and have a great week. Thank you, Precious.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.